Let's receive strength from him. Strength to overtake the limitations of our humanity. Strength to overwhelm our weaknesses. Strength to establish the counsel of God in our lives. Strength from the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it on your own. The journey ahead of you is still far. We need to draw strength from the Lord. Strength from the Lord. Strength from the Lord. Strength from the Lord. Yes, Lord, we draw strength from you tonight. We draw strength from you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We draw strength from the Lord. Jelamanta baboria hapasalemate. Rabenskombrebene heskatamina zalabahaya. Labra maskanda baboria vazalabatame. Labroskate masanda babalahaskate. We draw strength from you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want to bring you a brief message. Brief message from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Brief message from the Word of God. So we are still going to continue from the teaching we had the last time. Behold the man. And as we look upon the life of Christ, we begin to see how much we need to strive on the journey of faith. It is written that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the syllabus of our race. And when we consider his example, we begin to understand our race. We begin to understand our mission upon the face of the earth. There is another ingredient I want to bring to our notice tonight concerning the multidimensional aspects of the life of that man Jesus. And I want us to draw a lesson from the things we will be beholding. In the book of John chapter 3, I'd like you to turn your Bible. So look upon him intently. Intently. When we get to see him intently, we get to understand the scope of our race. The strategy of our walk with God. The expectation of God for our lives. Because every one of us that is called in Christ Jesus is called to follow the pattern of Christ. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 3 verse 34. Jesus is speaking to us. He said, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. I don't know which point we are on now, but it's worthy of note for us to consider the fact that Jesus was conscious of the fact that he was a sent one. Hallelujah. He was what? He was conscious of the fact that he was a sent one. And I need to educate us a little tonight of what it means to be a sent one, or to carry the consciousness and the mentality of one that is sent. Hallelujah. Now, when I was going for my youth service, upon discovering that I was posted to Kano, actually, I wanted to be posted to a place like Bayelsa, where there was money. Hallelujah. So that maybe upon entry into that land, some financial challenges will naturally be handled. But when the list came out, and I prayed about it, I fasted, I prophesied, I spoke the word of God. But it happens to be that the will of God is superior to our faith. And your operation in the kingdom is actually based upon an understanding of the will of God. The extent to which your prayer is powerful is the degree to which it's aligned with the will of God. So that it doesn't become a vain babbling. Becomes vain when it's independent of the will of God. That means it is a fleshly burden because it does not strike any chord in the realm of the spirit. You are not playing the games according to the rules. And I was praying and saying, God, open the door by Esther so that when I go out a poor man, I come out a rich man. But you see, you don't need to blame me because most of what we were taught those days was that your spirituality was measured by how much of money you amassed. And so we were expecting that the windows of heaven will open. And there was a greater likelihood for you to hit big money if you were in a place that had oil. Hallelujah. So I prayed, but when the list came out, my name was on Kano. And Kano was the worst place to serve that time because there was a riot then, and so many things were going on that were out of place. And it happened to be that when I came to the place, somehow, I almost died the next day because I was caught up in a riot. So I began my sojourning in that land with great fear because I was close to death. When we're discharged or dispatched from the camp, and I now located the place where I was to dwell, I found a mountaintop where I used to go to pray. Hallelujah. And when I began to pray on that mountain, I started understanding the purpose of God for sending me to that city. Somewhere along the line, after we did about 8 months, I spent about 8 months fasting on that mountain. When I go to work, come back, I go to the mountain, go to work, come back, go to the mountain, go to the work, come back. And in the 8 months, the Lord now spoke and said, we shall raise unto him a crusade platform and he will begin to deliver the people. Hallelujah. Somehow it was difficult because you could not just hold a crusade in Kano at that time. There were laws that were have been proclaimed that hindered Christian public meetings. Went back to consult the Lord, and after consulting him, it was clear that it was the will of God for us to hold outdoor meetings. And so we went outdoor and began to preach the gospel. And when we began to preach the gospel, I remember we started casting out devils. I remember there was a lady like that came for a service one of those days, and the power of God hit her, and she fell on the ground, and for 3 hours, she was like a dead person. So much so that we began to beg God for mercy for her to rise. After we prayed, she fell down, and then we had to pray again for her to rise up. But when she rose up after 1 hour, she began to confess. And she said that in her court, in her spiritual court, the coven where they operate, they showed her my picture in that coven that I was going to come to the city of Kano. And I was just going there to do you service. And I did not even like the place to start with. But they had been intimated, they had been informed that a young preacher was coming into that territory. And that young preacher was going to stay in the locality where the court was. And if they don't strike that young preacher quickly, he was going to destroy the kingdom, their kingdom. And she was the one that was assigned from their kingdom to ensure that the plans that they had made comes to pass. You see, whenever people are sent from the demonic kingdom with an assignment, most often they succeed because they function with what is called a sent mentality. When someone comes out of the water and is given an assignment that there's a great preacher in the territory, and is saddled with the responsibility to ensure that that preacher does not fulfill his assignment,
You don't find them wasting time in Tito Yogurt or Mr. Biggs, because it's not directly connected to the assignment. They might find themselves in Mr. Biggs if the assignment occasions that Mr. Biggs is a place that can give them the platform to fulfill that which they have come to initiate. Now, many guys go around without a sent mentality. That's why it's easy for the devil to get in your tracks and to get you confused, to get you distracted. Because our mentality is not within the context of a sent one. Jesus began to speak in the book of John chapter 4. And he said that him that the Father has sent. That means he was possessed with the fact, with the philosophy of the fact that he was a sent one. And so if you want to get him to do something that is not directly connected to his mission, you will not find him handy, because he's possessed with a sent mentality. Hallelujah. Many times, even when people that work for the devil are arrested by the power of God, most of them were on assignment. They knew about the dangers that were available, and they were exposed to on the basis of the kind of assignment that they accepted to carry on. But yet they were ready to risk it, because they know that the average Christian is not conscious of the fact that he's sent. And many times there are several loopholes in his life that the kingdom of darkness can exploit. We don't move around with that consciousness. When you come to a place, when they give you water to drink, you don't drink like that. When they give you more tonic, you hit the bottle like this. And then you take a sip. There's no consciousness of the fact that you are on assignment. There are several times like that you are on assignment and God can give you an instruction. When you go to that place, don't eat and don't drink. And he doesn't tell you how many days you will stay. Hallelujah. Every time a man that is sent is conscious of himself, is conscious of what he's doing, he's looking for a way that the mission can find expression. He takes advantage of the looseness of the terrain, the looseness of the territory, so that he can put his banner and begin to bring something out. That's if you stay long enough under the empowerment of a sent mentality, you will find a weakness that you can exploit to begin your mission. And that's why most often people that are sent by darkness always find an inroad, even among the strongest people, because they go with a sent mentality. The devil does not give them all the information of the things that they will encounter along the way. And that's why when they come like that, many times they are arrested. But they were arrested in active service. The average believer does not go with that ideology. Doesn't go with that perspective. He just goes loose. He goes without a sense of purpose. And that's why a campus student can get to the campus. And when he gets there in 100 level. Hallelujah. You know, I told one of my young ones, a young brother, he gained admission into Ahmadu Bello University, and he came to me for counseling. And I told him, 2 years, you are going to spend it praying. No girlfriend. Nothing. Don't make more than 2 friends per time. Stay in the place of prayer for 2 years. Any fellowship you attend, don't make yourself prominent. Don't show anybody that you know the Bible. Gain grip of the atmosphere. Gain grip of the terrain. And after 2 years, your ministry will break out. And in the space of 1.5 years, you will conquer that land and put it in your pocket. And when the guy went to campus, in 100 level, he had 3 girlfriends. He was already in business. He was busy. He was busy. Every day he was busy. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. The average believer moves around not having any sense of mission in view. In 300 level, this guy was he was the best student in English in the entire SSC in Kano. Alright? He was a scholar. And by the time he was in 300 level, he was in probation. We had to force him to defer, to come home for deliverance. You are not with me. I had to go and force him to defer his admission, to stay at home for 1 year, learning the language of tongues again, checking his tongues to see if it's borrowed. Because he had no sent mentality. These were guys I trained in prayer. I trained them in the word of God. He was the only failure among all my disciples. The rest moved in like nocturnals. And before the day broke, they had taken over the territory. Hallelujah. But this one became large. He forsook my counsel. He met some people somewhere and he went there and told them I had a word from God. Had a word. So they gave him time to preach, and he was such a good teacher. And he exposed himself. And they made him a leader while he was still in limbo. His spirit had not gathered weight. He had not yet conquered lust. So many things were still attractive to him. And by the time he had spent 3 years, he had accomplished nothing for the Lord, and he was still a failure in his academic work. We had to force him to defer his admission to come home for the deliverance. To help him, intensive care unit. After 4 months, he revived. He was here one day when he came home and said, I saw a vision again after 3 years. That was a man that walked in visions. He walked in prophecies. He could pick the mind of God in the spirit. He became blind and deaf, and the devil pierced him. Before he died, we had to smuggle him out. He went to a land without a sent mentality. Friends, you are vulnerable if you go without a sent mentality. Jesus said that him that the Father has sent, he speaks the words of God. Now, if I come to your office and unawares, I didn't tell you I will show up, and I just showed up and I meet you on the table, talking, and you are just explaining politics. It's an indication that at that point in time you have lost the sent mentality. Because if the sent mentality is still with you, you will look for every opportunity. When I came to resume work here in Makurdi, it took me 1 year of prayer and fasting to conquer the atmosphere of the depot. 1 year of prayer and fasting. I'll pray and I'll go and decree the word of God. Decree it. Decree the word of God. Because that place was a very corrupt place. People were carrying charms or paralysis, such that if they shake you in the morning, alright, they transfer something. Almost every month, one person got paralyzed by 4 p.m. And it's always on Thursday. 4 p.m. on Thursday, you hear that somebody that drove himself, they are driving him home now. He drove himself to the office. By 4 p.m. on Thursday, they are driving him back. And it became a common thing in the place. And I knew that God had sent me. I knew the reason why I'm there is not because of the ID card I'm carrying. I'm there because I'm an undercover agent sent to perform an errand for heaven. So I had to conquer the place spiritually. I had to conquer the place in the spirit. I had to subdue the atmosphere. The corruption was so much that people went to villages, went to suburban areas to fortify themselves. So that if by any means they clash with you, and you say you want to be a righteous man, and you stop their business, they afflict you. It was a bad place. So I had to come there lean, and I speak the word for 1 year, until God told me that now, at your rebuke, this place will be governed. I knew about the chief. Hallelujah. You don't go like an ordinary man. You wear that mentality of a sent one. Jesus said, he that the Father has sent, he does what? He speaks the word of God. if you are a sent one and you are in a community, before it's too long, they will come to seek your counsel. They know that there's a spirit by which you utter things. There's a wisdom by which you speak things. And people will want to come consult to find out, what wisdom is this? It's a sent one. And so in the book of John chapter 3 verse 34, the Bible says that he that the Father has sent, he speaks the words of God. Hallelujah. And what? For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Actually, the next statement is totally specific and peculiar to Jesus. Jesus was the only personality that operated in the Spirit without measure. We all function in the Spirit in measures. Hallelujah. It was a compendium of the entire Godhead. And there was no leakage. He carried God the Father. He carried God the Holy Spirit. He was the representative of the Godhead. He was the expression of the Godhead. He was the manifestation of the Godhead. He was the definition of the Godhead. So that part B of that scripture has to do only with Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that him that the Father has sent, he speaks the word of God. Now, go to the book of John chapter 4 before we open some things and then we will pray. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat. Somebody say, my meat. I didn't hear you. Say, my meat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. A sent mentality. Hallelujah. I was privileged to be in the company of a few people that went to a place in Tivland to marry. Hallelujah. You know, every experience I have, it adds to my sermon. And we went to obtain a damsel. Well, the culture was not too different from that which I was used to. Only that there was a point. There was a point in the discussion where a pig has to be brought. That one, I've never seen it anywhere. They need to hold the discussion and bring pig at that point. Because meat in that place can determine many things. Meat. Meat. Hallelujah. Meat can influence things. It can argue your case for you. So, stop talking and bring meat. Meat. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And Jesus is saying, my meat. And there's a revelation in that scripture that you need to be careful to see. Say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, Jesus is trying to make us understand that he's so possessed with doing the will of God, so much so that he can stay without food for the purpose of the will of God. That's what he's saying. That if he's doing the will of God, he's satisfied. It's as if he has taken meat. Do you get it? Is it true about you? Is it true that you can stay without food because of the pressure of the purpose of God that is hanging upon your heart? Is it true that you have come to that point where the purpose of God means more to you than food? You see, it happens to be that the Bible is so practical. And if you are a student of the Word of God, you actually find that where you are in your journey in the Spirit. Is it true that on the account of the purpose of God, you can stay without meat? So when people come and look upon you, they say, okay, he has meat to eat that we do not know of. That's why he's calm. In order for Jesus to open up to them and give them spiritual insight, he now decided to explain. Say, you guys don't understand that my food is to do the will of him that sent me. If I'm doing the will of him that sent me, I can forget natural food. If I'm locked up in doing the will of God, I may not remember that I'm hungry anymore. And he was speaking this within the context of his encounter with a woman of Samaria. He got talking with her. And something divine began to break out. Because the Bible says that Samaria was not where Jesus was going. Okay, let's check it. Are you with me now? John 4. Alright, in John 4 verse 3, the Bible says he left and departed again into Galilee, but he must needs go to Samaria. That means that the Father, that God in heaven, was the one that was putting pressure upon his heart to go to Samaria. Samaria was not actually a resultant route to the place that he was headed, but he was hell bound in the spirit to go to Samaria. At this point in time, he had not yet factored what exactly God wanted to achieve through him in Samaria. But he knew as much that God wanted him to pass through the terrain of Samaria. And as he moved through Samaria, meanwhile he sent the disciples to go buy food. And suddenly he got talking with the woman by the well. He was not sure whether that was the woman that God was sending him to. Now, I need to bring us into understanding here. Because when Jesus walked this world, in order for him to qualify to satisfy the claims of divine justice, he needed to be in every form a man. And because of that, the only qualities that were part of the privileges that he enjoyed in the Godhead, he had to suspend them so that he would qualify to be a man. So the extent to which Jesus had knowledge was the degree to which the Holy Spirit informed him. There were several times that Jesus did not have yes or no answers to give. For instance, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, when they came to Jesus, they said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel?" He knew what they were saying. They were asking him a political question. Because at that point in time, Israel was not a self-governing nation. They were under the rule and the dominion of the Romans. And everyone wanted to break out of the bondage of the Romans. And they came to Jesus and brought a political question to him and said, "Will you at this time, now we have understood your destiny. You are the king that was prophesied that was to come. You are going now. Yes, you have died. You have resurrected. We are sure of the fact that you are God. But will you, at this time, restore the kingdom unto Israel? Will you make Israel a self-governing nation? Will you restore the dominion of Israel so that our yoke under the hand of the Romans can be lifted? Will you do that?" Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that what God," he was speaking about the Father, "has set in his own authority." It means that in that his frame as a man. Are you with me now? There were several things that he was not allowed access to, because if he operates within the scope of his full privileges as God, he will be disqualified by the claims of divine justice. So he had to be in every form. He must taste of humanity and manhood in every fashion and in every form. And that warranted and that required that the omni qualities would be suspended. And so Jesus did not know who it was that God was bringing him bound to Samaria to minister to. But he began by initiating a discussion with the woman at the well. Hallelujah. And he initiated it so easily. He just said, "Well, give me water to drink." But he was still trying to find out if it was this woman that God had sent him to, since he felt bound in the spirit to come to the coast of Samaria. It was not his intention so to do. It was not his desire so to do. But he came to Samaria and was looking out for the person that God had sent him to. Fortunately enough, he met her by the well. And he said, Jesus is an object teacher. Everything that the Bible reveals in the physical environment of where Jesus came to bring a particular teaching or initiated a particular discussion had to do, everything in the environment had to do with the revelation that he wanted to communicate. And he was by the well. Well, he began by saying, give me water to drink and all of that. You know all of that. But you see, what Jesus began to do there was that he began to dig a well inside of the woman. She was by a physical well. Is that not so? But Jesus came and he volunteered to dig a well inside of the woman. Now, let us watch the progression. And then you see what gave birth to that statement. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I went to visit my brother in Abuja. He works with Unity Bank. And I walked to his floor. And I saw him in the bank. And I got grieved in the spirit. I said, remember that God revealed that we were called many years ago. And he cried out in anguish. And he said, this place, this city that he has found himself, is like a man in a jungle. When you go to a place without a scent mentality, the city will swallow you. But if you go there with a scent mentality, it doesn't matter how difficult the terrain looks, you will find a crack that you can take advantage of. Many times we go loose. We go without a plan. We go without a mission. And that in itself makes you vulnerable. You are exposed. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Let's go small, small. See, but there's no time. It was Jesus that said, I must do the will of him that sent me while it is day. It was him that said that. Do you realize that when he was talking about the will of him that sent him, there was a must there. I must. You see, the truth is this. If you have come to that point in your heart where there is a must, then I assure you the devil can do nothing about you. It was Paul. Many guys, some guys came together and said they were going to bind themselves with an oath that they will not eat or drink until they kill Paul. Why could they not kill Paul? The power of fasting was there. Commitment was there. Dedication was there. An oath of covenant was there. But they could not kill Paul. Why? Because in his life there was a must. You can't kill a man that has a must on his life. And Jesus said, I must. Whether you take a fast, whether you go to a coven, and you want to, my God, except it's not a man that has a must on his life. But if there's a must, take a fast, you will die instead. Because if those guys kept their word, the word of their oath, they should die. Because they didn't succeed to keep Paul. So a witch can take an oath in the coven and say, on your account, I will not eat or drink until I bring your head in a charger. It means that witch has signed to die because there's a must in your life. When Jesus came to Samaria, he started designing the errand that God was sending him to perform in the city. And he stood by the well. You know, he's a man of great understanding. Then he understood that the reason why a well was there, it was is related to his spiritual assignment. And he knew that his assignment was to dig a well in that woman. Just as Jacob dug a well for his descendants, he was going to dig a well in that woman. Now, let's check the progression. First of all, you'll notice that when Jesus approached the woman and insisted that the woman should give her water, give him water to drink. You know, the woman identified him to be a Jew. Maybe the way Jesus was dressed was Jewish. And you could look upon the way he dressed and his appearance and tell that you are Jew. And there's an ancient strife between the Jews and the Samaritans, such that in custom, custom has captured the fact that Jews and Samaritans should have no dealings. Hallelujah. It was when I went closer to Igede land, I had to ask the elders. I said, okay, let me leave that. Let me leave. Because I might be arrested. So, you see, the Igede people are looking at me seriously now. I had to ask them, I said, what happened that between you people and thief people, that you don't like thief people to marry you, and you don't like giving you your daughter to thief man. What's the problem? Let's find that now. There's an enmity. Hallelujah. And it's not as if two people say that they will not marry you. But it's two people that say, what's the problem? Amen. Now, so those kind of things were going on between Jews and what? Samaritans. And in fact, their own was worse. In their own problem, which is only the ancestors that know the source of the problem. Even though we can trace the source of the problem in the Bible. But that's not what we are teaching today. Amen. There should be no dealings between Samaritans and Jews. So she identified Jesus to be a Jew. Amen. Well, Jesus took the issue further. And he said, well, if you had known the gift of God and him that is speaking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, when the woman discovered that Jesus is claiming to have the ability to give something, she changed the title. You know, first it was, you are a Jew. And then when Jesus made that statement, and she had never heard any man speak like that, she now says, sir. Now, it means that there's a digging taking place here. Because she has left the level of Jew. Where are we now? Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. Where will you get this living water? And Jesus now spoke back and said, him that drinketh of this well, he shall thirst again. That's why I'm troubled. When a natural man wants to find satisfaction in a natural thing, it's like a mirage. It is only that personality that put the implant of eternity in you that can satisfy that implant. And you remain a searcher until you stumble upon eternity. Only eternity can quench the cry of eternity that is in the heart of man. Jesus said that he that drinketh of your well will thirst again, so you have to come back. But you see, the difference between me and you is that your own well, guys need to come back and come back and come back, but the well, the water that I give, if you drink of it, it shall be in you a well that springs unto eternal life. That's where I knew that Jesus wanted to dig a well in her. Because when Jesus described living water, he said it comes out of a well that is where? In you. It's as if the woman didn't have anything to say again. And then Jesus now said, where's your husband? The woman now said, I have no husband. I said, you spoke well. See, he's taking it deeper now. He said, the truth is that you have had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. She changed the salutation. He now said, it's as if you are a prophet. Now, at first it was worse. You are a Jew! And then when he went further, the woman said, sir. Now, the woman said, have you ever dug a well before? There are different kinds of soil you've had. So they are going deeper now. They are going deeper. But you need to understand that even the Muslims know Jesus as a prophet. And that you identify him as a prophet is not sufficient for you to get water. So knowing him to be a prophet is not sufficient. And if you must commit yourself to a path for eternity, it is wise for you not to hear a prophet. In the issues of eternity, you need to hear God himself. Because a prophet is handicapped concerning that matter. But the woman, at least she has tried. She has come to a point where she has seen a prophet in Jesus. But you see, your revelation must go beyond that of just identifying him as a righteous man, as a prophet, as a custodian of revelations. You must go beyond that. Hallelujah. Well, it's as if the thing is becoming mystical. So the woman now says, oh, God, you are going far. Our fathers, she changed the subject. Because the temple was too high. So she said, our fathers used to worship God on this mountain. But you Jews, see, something's happening. You know, you can be digging, the sand will come back, and you... He said, you Jews say it's in Jerusalem that we worship. Now, check that discussion. It's not connected to the where, to what is being done. He just brought one, say, Aleku used to walk, something totally different from the subject matter. Hallelujah. Jesus has already dug to a point and he cannot allow the woman to hijack the project. So he said, okay, the time has actually come and now is. Where the true worshippers worship the Father in spirit. So even the Jerusalem that the Jews or the one of your ancestors, at this current time now, there's something, there's a technology that God has crystallized that is more authentic than any of the options you mentioned. You are not acquainted with the current move of God. Now worship has left locations and worship now is in the spirit. The time has come and now is that time where the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Hey, the woman said, you have come. Okay, when Messiah comes, he will explain all these things you are dabbling into. Even the Pharisees are careful to handle it. If Messiah come, so he brings God, the woman now presents God from a futuristic perspective. You know, at first he went to a historical perspective, our fathers. Now move God into a futuristic perspective. If your knowledge of God is a futuristic knowledge, it can benefit you now. If your knowledge of God is a historical knowledge, this is how they did it in 1912. When the NKST Synod came to open the land, this is how they did it. You are disconnected from what God is doing now. And Jesus brings the current template of the economy of God. He said, right now, worship is in the spirit. The woman said, Kai, no. When Messiah comes, he will clarify this matter. And then Jesus now says, yes, him that speaks to you and what am he. When he brought her through that process, digging, until she captured the revelation of Jesus as Messiah, the fountainhead was struck and river. It was the river that came out of the woman that affected the entire city. One woman, one well that broke loose. I saw in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus sometimes can preach to a city. Jesus sometimes can focus on one person because he knows that the key of a city's deliverance is tied to one man. It's only a sent man that can function that way. Only a sent man. And when the apostles came back, because Jesus said he was hungry, so they went to town to bring bread. Meanwhile, when Jesus finished ministering to the woman, a sense of peace seized his spirit and galvanized his soul. He felt satisfied more than a man that ate bread and fish. And he cried out and said, my meat. Because at that point in time, his appetite had even gone. And the satisfaction, the fulfillment that was inside of him was much more than that which bread and fish could give. Because the apostles began to murmur in their heart and say, somebody must have come and given him something. And he read their thoughts and gave them answers from their thoughts. My meat. Oh my God. I've never seen a teacher like Jesus. Even when the people are asking the question from their mind, he includes this in the sermon. My meat is to do the will of him. Have you ever gone to a place and after doing the will of God, the sense of hunger perished? And you were held under the mighty power of fulfillment that was furnished into your spirit by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, that's what I feed on. Only sent men will still stay on the ground until there's a sense of approval in their spirit. Only sent men. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, you will see that Paul and his friends went to the city of Iconium. And instead of giving them a wonderful reception, the citizens of the land, oh my God, dealt with them terribly. And you expect that because they did not give them a warm welcome, that the guys will go out. No. It was in Iconium that the Bible recorded that long time abode there, speaking boldly in the Lord. They abode there for what? Long time. The reception was terrible. But they abode there what? Long time. Speaking boldly in the Lord, who gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted that signs and wonders be done by their hands. They didn't go. Only sent men can behave like that. Hallelujah. There was a pastor I met some time ago. He loved the ministry. He likes being called pastor. In fact, he doesn't dress anyhow to come out, because he wants you to see him, capture him within the light of the pastoral reality. There's a way he barbs his hair in the barbers. If you venture miss the style, you can finish a case in magistrate court, because there's a posture, a comportment, and a carriage that must be attached to his reality. Whenever he comes out, he likes that thing, pastor. When you say it as if it gives ventilation to his soul, Jesus. And unknown to him, that in that glory of being called a pastor, I say doom. Doom is attached to that glory. There's suffering in that glory. There's fasting in that glory. There's prayer such that God will make you bigger than the title. And even if they call you pastor, it won't ring, because the suffering is more than the name. He didn't know that it's so. So in his pastoral ministry, the ministry now started owing money in the facility that they were renting. Meanwhile, that is a normal phenomenon in ministry, for the ministry to owe. I don't know. We have done ministry in the bush road. I don't know whether you started your own in the town. Hallelujah. So when he saw that the ministry was owing, he escaped from town. And then he came back again and changed the name under time. And in this town, his ministry has 6 different names. And after the 6th one, he packed finally. It's not... The Bible says long time they abode. A man that is not sent can go. A man that is sent will say, okay, he will burn the bridge and say, let me die there. At least let it be on record that I died in the process. Most witches, before they come out on ground to carry out assignment, they have vowed and they have already kept their soul in a bottle and kept it in the coven and say, if I don't deliver, break it. So they know that they have nowhere to go to. They have nowhere to return to. Their life is on the line and they go out like dying men. That's why most of the time they break through. Their determination is deadly. But you see, the average guy just stands up and says, oh boy, the way my back carry me today, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And to what? To finish his work. And when you begin to prosper in this understanding, you begin to know that your purpose existed before you were born, and if you have not fulfilled it, you cannot die. Because Jesus said, it is not just to do the will of him that sent me, but I know that I've been supplied with grace sufficient for me to finish the work. And as long as there's still work to do, I know that I must do the will of him that sent me. If you like to bind yourself with an oath, I must do the will. A man that has said, I must, is a deadly man, because he must. Especially if he's relying upon the grace of God. Especially if he's relying upon the ability of God. Especially if he's not coming to do his own agenda. It is a superior agenda that he's trying to facilitate
then must he shall, because grace will be sufficient to ensure that he brings it to a fulfillment. I must do the will of him that sent me. In the book of John, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus began to teach his apostles about what I call the sent mentality. It's an apostolic mentality. It's a mentality that only sent people carry. And if we are looking at Jesus' example, then we cannot omit the fact that he was possessed with the consciousness of the fact that he was a sent one. Sometimes you may not understand that there is a wisdom of God behind the you coming from the family that you have come from. And just in case you do not sustain any sense of responsibility about that family, it's because you have not yet imbibed the sent mentality. Hallelujah. A true sent one should enter into a territory, and he will have grace sufficient to finish his work. When I was in 300 level, I was taking my bath one day and God spoke to me. He said, son, you are not going to graduate. And then I had no carryover. I had no academic problem. Then I began to press into God to find out, why is it that I'm not going to graduate? I have good grades, and what's the problem? And the Lord now revealed to me that there's a generation of men that have received something from him. Some of them did 2 extra years, some of them did 1 extra year. And the bulk of them are going. On the strength of that, I have to remain behind, so that a generation can come to collect that which he had given us. So I knew that my staying behind had a purpose. I was more busy in that extra year than the other 4 years. Are you with me now? Because there was an assignment. There was an assignment. It was in that assignment, when I was carrying out the second assignment, there were 2 things God asked me to do. When I was carrying out the second assignment and time was not on my side, and I cried out, he said, all right, I'm going to give you power. That was where he gave me that anointing that people fall. He said, with this power, you will attract many people and you'll be able to finish the work quickly. It was on campus that anointing came. When I cried out that there was no time, he said, okay, I'm going to accelerate things. I will give you power. Whereas people at home were saying that, see, this boy used to notebook those days, so now he's doing extra year. That was not my business, because I knew I was sent. I could not even come back to explain to anybody that I knew that God wanted me back on campus, and he had made a way for me to. I was rejoicing. So when I come back in family meeting, they will say, they will carve a prayer point about me in the prayer, which is a message. Our Father, we thank you because all the children of the house have gone to the university. We thank you because no one stayed beyond the time, but this evil spirit that has hindered our son, delayed him. May you find a way to restitute this time. Our Father, we heard that he doesn't read again. He says, that's not a prayer. Somebody wants to talk, but he can't talk boldly. When the prayer, my amen is loud. Amen! And then they become discouraged that, because they don't understand. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. If you are a sent man, the way you view things will be different from the normal carnal man. You might be doing something. They say, okay, they gave you employment here, but there's a reason behind it. God wants you to do something. He's sending you to accomplish a mission. Many times people go there and become fat and large. One day, I went to visit my brother and I saw his waist. The waist.
Hey.
The Lord will give you understanding. I told him that no man that hears God is as fat as you are. No man. No man. People that hear God are not fat like this. That was when he confessed to me that he's in the forest. Meanwhile, he was on the computer. Balancing check, balancing the boy. He was dying on the inside. He was fat. The suit. His suit. Was fat. He has lost the scent mentality. Instead of eating the meat, doing the will of him that sent him, he has found meat, physical meat. And that meat has expanded his waist. Hallelujah. A man that is sent views things from a different perspective. You might call his delay a misfortune, but he understands from the spirit the reason why he needs to spend 2 more years in order to strengthen himself, so that when he gets to that place of opportunity, he will live like a dying man. He will know what to do. He will know when to sit. He will know when to stand. He will know when to walk away. He will know when to run. That's a set man. You can't catch him. You can't kill him. You can't frustrate him. Because he must do the will of him that sent. In the book of John chapter 10, Jesus begins to inculcate the sent mentality into his apostles. Can we check Matthew 10? Matthew 10 quickly. Because of time, I cannot break this scripture down. But everything about the sent mentality is in Matthew 10. In Matthew 10 verse 5, he said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into this any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have ye received, freely give." I don't have time to do the whole reading. It was in this scripture that he said, provide no scrip for your journey. He said, do not take 2 coats. It is only on the mission that you are sent to accomplish. God says that you don't need all the tools from home. Notice that he began to teach the apostles when he was inculcating in them the sent mentality. He said, you are not called to do everything. That's the first thing you must understand as a sent one. It's not everything that's your business. The fact that somebody died close to you may not be your business. The fact that somebody is afflicted around your compound, it may not be your business. Jesus gave them clear-cut instructions as to what their jurisdiction was, and so that they will understand what to do and the grace that is required to get it done. There were clear-cut instructions. One time we went to a village and we saw so many devastations, and the enemy had plundered the people. And my friend said, "Oh, let's go there and minister to them and plant a church." And I told him, God did not tell me. He said, "Are you not seeing the affliction?" I opened scripture and showed him that the poor and the needy, Jesus said, will always be around. But the fact that you saw a poor and a needy may not be your mission. And that's why for every sent one, Jesus gave them accurate jurisdiction. He said, don't go here. And that may be because he has already assigned that to somebody. And on my mission field, there should be no clash and collision. He said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My son was going for youth service. And I told him,
It's only such that as I have that I can give you. Go and fast and come back with the message, the promise that God has given you. And after fasting, he said that God spoke to him and said that the cruse of oil shall not waste, and the barrel of meal shall not fail until the Lord bring rain. Hallelujah! I said, now you can go. Because when God gives you a message, when he proclaims a word over your life, you have assurance. By those words, God was telling him, you will never lack. That was what he meant when he said, take no scrip. Do not make extra provisions for your journey. If I sent you, provision will meet you on the way, and you have more than enough. He told that young boy, the barrel of meat shall not waste. The cruse of oil shall not fail. Except God did not send you. But if he sent you, if he sent you, he said, prove me now. Go with one tunic. Go with no scrip. You don't have need for two sandals. Because a laborer is worthy of his hire. He was trying to teach them. I don't have time to open those scriptures. But Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. If I had enough provision to fulfill the will of God for my life, then so will you. Your life will not be different from my life. What I did, you will do. But make sure you stay in your duty post. Let there be an instruction from God that is behind what you do. And heaven will break loose to see to it that you have sufficient to bring to pass the work of God. God began to speak, because you don't send the preacher out without money. You don't send the missionary out without support. But he said, take no scrip. I'm about to show you something. I'm about to show you a reality that only men that are sent can exploit. I make provision wherever I give vision. I make preparation wherever I send my messenger. As I can send ravens from heaven, I can send thunder, I can send lightning, I can send fire, because a laborer is worthy of his hire. Right, let's pray. I've never known a man that will never cry, but a man that is sent by God, a man that operates by sent mentality. Oh my God. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Whenever there is a must upon your life, you must finish the work. No man can cut your journey short. You become vulnerable when you are not a sent one. You become exposed to the machinations of darkness when there is nothing upon your heart that you sense that you must do. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You want to cry tonight and say, oh God, let the burden of the Spirit make me a captive of heaven. Let the burden of the Spirit become the source of my travail. Yes, that I can say that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I'm on a mission. The great God has spoken a word over my life. I cannot die until everything that he has said comes to pass, because my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I must finish his work. Nothing can stop my journey until I finish his work. And I still have some work to do. I still have some assignments to carry out. That cannot lay claim to my soul now, because I still have some business to carry out. The word of God is still strong over my life. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Shalom, brother Bakadebaba.
Rabadan Sembra Takabada. Rabenanaskato. Those words that God spoke to you, do not allow them die. Do not allow the devil distract you. Do not allow him give you another vision. Do not allow him give you another purpose. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Let us be consumed, O God, by your will. Any man that is not conscious of that which God has spoken to him, the devil begins to bring problems to preoccupy you, and you spend the rest of your days solving problems. But Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Shalabande Barakashke. Every one of us must become mindful of the will of him that sent us. We must become preoccupied. We must understand that every opportunity that comes into our lives is a platform to execute that will of God. It's a platform to bring to pass that counsel of God. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Every city has a weakness. Every office has a weakness. Every territory has a weakness. And if you go with the same mentality, you begin to see the weakness. That weakness becomes your opportunity, because your meat is to do the will of him that sent you. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. Shalabonda Madabaska. Lababon Sanamande. Rapenas Kalabayama. Shalabandemas Kalababala. That we will be preoccupied with the will of him that has sent us. Preoccupied. Let us not get lost in the traffic. Let us not get overtaken by circumstances and situations. But like Jesus, that we might boast and say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The will of him. The will of him. Holy Father, worship you, precious Jesus, our Savior, Holy Spirit, we wait on you, Holy Spirit, we wait on you for fire. Fire,
glorify you. To do the will of Him that sent me. Will of Him that sent me. The will of Him that sent me. The will of Him that sent me. The will of Him that sent me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Finally, every one of us must be conscious of that little quiet instruction that God was faithful enough to drop upon your heart. Your life must be defined by it. Your existence must be based on it. Every other thing can change, but those words will stand forever. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." You know, sister, people of your age that are here, you are privileged. We do not know what you are hearing today in those days, and so we do not know how God ordained life to be. Spent many years not knowing how life should be ordered. Jesus said, "My meat." That is singular reason for my existence. Is to do the will of Him that sent me. I remember one day, for those of you that knew my house, my former house, where we used to pray. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that knows that? All right. Amen. Oh, dear. My brothers are here. I was praying in my parlor alone, and I began to pray because those days I had a covenant time with God, a personal prayer time with God that I used to keep. And I was praying one of those days. You know, whereas the Lord has put that gift in my hand that I can pray and the power of God heals people, it has never happened to me before. Hallelujah. But that day, I was praying all by myself. There was no preacher there. And I got praying and got praying, and the power of God from nowhere, He hit me. And I fell on the ground. And I don't know what happened. Because I didn't know myself for 3 hours. That was where God took me to the past. Because that time I just came to Makurdi newly, with the assignment in my heart to begin this network. Hallelujah. And in that encounter, it was as if my spirit was taken and I was escorted into the past. And God began to show me. He showed me 3 men that He had given this assignment that failed. 3 men. 2 of them are still alive. They are still. One of them is in this city. But I will never call the name. Hallelujah. He told me the things he did. That man was so graced by God. So graced by God. The one that is in this city now. Still alive. 3 men. So when I saw that 3 men had been given the same assignment and they did not fulfill it, I didn't need God to tell me again that even me too, if you don't do well, there are many other people that can. And that
man that changed signboard 6 times was the last man that was given the assignment. Every time that you don't make it a must, that I must do the will of him that sent me, if it has not become a must,
I saw you.
Principalities and powers have a skillful way of distracting you. Because one of the people that I speak about today is alive and is in active ministry in this city. Because when God showed me that one, I had to ask God questions. I say he's still alive and he's still in ministry. And you cannot do that which you want to do through him. He said, no. He said, alright. What about his ministry? He said, I will bless the ministry as much as I can. What do you mean by that? I will bless the ministry what? As much as I can. But that mandate has been taken. When I was doing remedial in Benue State University in 1995, hallelujah. I was the one playing keyboard for that man. Oh, you don't know that I can jam. That's how I know when they escape. It's not spiritual. I learned it. I played keyboard for Living Faith. Yeah. Oh, calm down. I've been around, okay? I used to jam. So I was playing for him. Play. I will play very well before I play because I don't know how to play much. It's the anointing that overwhelmed the whole place. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I could stand where that man would ever stand. And when God showed me that that man has handled the mantle before, it was true. Because God gave him the use of Benue State. That man, the man I'm talking about. His name was like talisman in Union Greek. This man. Those days in Benue State University, he was the pastor of BSU. You understand? Any day is coming, things will close down. Because he was operating with the mantle of grace. And God showed me he has taken it. Hallelujah. I used to know. Let me not take you too far. But I used to play keyboard for him. If there is no must in your life, then the devil will give you a cheap option. And it will be reasonable for you to follow. But if there's a must, whether the option that God has chosen for you is difficult, stay there. That's a sent mentality. I send you as sheep among wolves. And that was when Jesus said, be ye as wise as serpents and as gentle as dove. Have you cared to find out in your Bible what exactly is the wisdom of the serpent? Have you checked? Have you found out? Be as wise as serpents. Gentle as though. It was Solomon that said it. That a serpent will bite without enchantment. That means when a serpent comes, he will tell you, I go bite you. He will strike. Have you ever seen two people that want to fight and they say, see, they are not strong. The days we used to fight, that time you are saying, see, you would have done damage. Without enchantment. Hallelujah. He's saying when you come to a place, let your identity be revealed. Because if you hide it, you might compromise before you say it. When your identity is revealed, it will insulate you from the evil of that place. And when you have done that, he said, be as gentle as dove, with emphasis on gentle. It's your character that will sustain that identity that you have let out to the people. A time came, my manager in Abuja came to visit our zone. So I took him to Plaza. And after lodging him, we were running around looking for what he would eat. And we treated him like a king. I wanted to leave there by 8 o'clock. He said, I want hunger. I said, hunger. I said, there are plenty hangers here. He said, this your pastor thing has affected you. How will you bring a man like me to your zone and there's no woman to touch my back, this back? I say, I have something better than a woman for you. A big Bible. You will not finish it till daybreak. I assure you, you will not finish it. A serpent. We want. That's not the time to compromise. Just say, this is me. The next morning when I came, he said, see, the hanger I was telling you about, I saw them plenty here. I said, at least I'm not the one that gave you. I don't know, when some people are under pressure from their organ, they cannot come out. But the Bible says, serpent will bite without enchantment. The Lord give you understanding. We want to pray tonight finally and say, Lord, make me as wise as a serpent, but yet as gentle as a dove. Cry out to the Lord. The journey is still very far. The journey is still far. It's still far. Salamanta Baboria. The journey is still far. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Abroskata Rada Babahata. Shabarante Kasketomina Kadelia. Shabaranta Branta Baboskata Balahai. Jebrenta manaska de Boboria. Shabaska tombrega de la Bakuria Masalabata. Shemante Baboria Masalabaleka. We give you glory. We give you praise. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, we pray. One year later, when that manager came back to town, because when all of us were giving stamps and posted to different depots, reports began to come back to the office that some people, before they stamp for you, you pay 1,000. So imagine that you are stamping 250 documents, everybody paying 1,000. The money that guy makes every day. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So reports were going back that officials were dubious. So when they came, and they came with our overall organ, with mobile police, plenty mobile. So they came to the office and they said, no, I went to pick them at toll gate. The organ said, straight to the office. When they came there, they now discovered that since 4 years ago that we opened the office, there has been no bribe. So the man now remembered that night that instead of hunger, I recommended dates annotated reference Bible. He said, this one that pastor leave him, nothing there.
This one, I know this one. You see, when you operate the wisdom of the serpent, and you don't have the gentility, the character of the dove to back it up, you have defiled, you have destroyed your integrity. And integrity is one of your licenses as a sent man. They checked for 4 years. No bride. Hallelujah. When my transfer letter came and I left quietly because I didn't want anybody to know, there was great mourning in the devil. Great mourning. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I've heard stories of this Lagos office that I'm going now, that people steal money in dollars. $10,000. $3,000. Hallelujah. And that place is the most corrupt place. Amen. Obviously, God must have something to do there. Be wise as a serpent. But yet, what? People, my colleagues in the office, will buy land in Lagos for 10 million naira. Land. Hallelujah. Something has to change there. Yeah. But you know, we don't change things in the flesh. You arrest the place first in the spirit. That police force that God sent you to, you might look at yourself as an insignificant man, but you can begin, the recovery can begin with you. If you arrest the place from the spirit. We are sent men, and God is releasing us into chaos to bring order. The thicker the darkness, the more even the least of the strands of light will glow with brilliance and excellence. You don't need money that is stolen. You don't need it. Stolen money, you don't need. It will not prosper you. It only wreck you. Your character matters. As a sent man, so that God can trust us with great things, with mighty things. He can look upon us and smile and have hope and become confident. Have you seen my servant Job? Something must change. Meanwhile, when we came to the depot for the first time, my partner was a very greedy lady. She will go to Orlando and collect fuel. Go to Tota, collect fuel. Go here, collect fuel. After 4 months, one day she woke up. Her right hand was paralyzed. She called me the next day, Pastor, Pastor, ow! You don't know where you have come. They didn't educate you, they learned. The right hand gave way. They took her to the village in Enugu and used deep incantation. They brought her back with razor blade marks everywhere, but the hand was still dry. At the point, nobody accepted to come to Makoti again. So that they had to call me and say, okay, who do you want us to bring? That was when I told them, bring Shala's wife. She was still Sister Sarah then. Because he was my disciple in the office. I said, bring that lady. They said, okay, you want us to bring her so that you will be doing evangelism? I said, if you yourself can come, come. my manager, he doesn't sleep in my cuddy. If he comes, he will go before night and sleep in Lapia. He said there's an evil spirit there. Since that girl's hand got paralyzed, such that the man they sent to come and replace me, we had to encourage him that this is a good land. Did you see the food basket? Did you see it? God will bring the change, will begin the change with you. Please let your hand not be weary. The little input you are making is going a long way. The recovery has already begun. And he needs men that will stand for him. You are that man. Give him thanks, give him praise tonight. Because you have grace to finish his work. You have grace to finish his work. You have grace to do his will. You have grace. 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 You have the grace. The grace is abundant. The grace is upon you. You have the grace to finish. To finish. Nothing can cut you off if you have not finished. Nothing can take you off. No hypertension, no high blood pressure can cheat on you, because you must finish. And the grace is upon you to finish. Thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, tonight we thank you. Arm us with this mind, with this understanding. Make it unto us a close companion that we are sent men. By this sent mentality, deliver us from distraction. Deliver us from the manipulation of the enemy. Let our eyes be set like a flint. Let us have power with you and prevail. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen.